Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp to MR2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm delighted to be with you. We're delighted you're with us. And of course, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I'm here with my beautiful friends.
Hello there. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton coming from the beautiful part of the country, Durham, North Carolina. And it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And greetings. This is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. I'm also coming from the Durham end of our table. And as you know, Cher and I are the co-founders of an online events-driven unity ministry. And our name is the Unity Center for UniversalProsperity.com. And that's Y-O-Universal, because it is about your spiritual growth.
Absolutely. And you can get to us very quickly if you just click on to UCFYP.com, and that will take you right to our website.
All the way to the goodies, right?
Yes.
And so I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you'll find my calendar, where I'm doing stuff virtually still these days, as well as the Absolute Word, which is my weekly blog based on the Sunday Daily Word published by Unity World Headquarters. And of course, our theme for this year for MR2 is Review and Renew in 2022. And hooray, I found a great article today when I was doing some research. It's one of those weeks where I couldn't find anything. And all of a sudden, boom, this morning I found this. The title of the article, which I found in Medium, is Research Confirms That the Words We Say Can Change the Structure of the Brain. Wow, this is really great stuff. And it's by Arthur K.H. I don't know. They didn't put his whole name there. And maybe, Cher, you can sort that out for me. And so, Cher, you want to take it away?
Sure. And we just like to remind people that we do get lots of great articles through Medium, and they are a curator of articles on all kinds of topics. So we want to always give them acknowledgement and tip a hat to that wonderful resource as well. And I have no idea how to pronounce that guy's last name, K.H. We were talking about it earlier, and it's really weird. So it probably is a pen name.
I think it's like a pen name or a shortened name, or because it's capital K-H period, and his first name is A-R-T-U-R, so I imagine he has some sort of interesting background.
I'm sure. Exactly. A story about his name. Right. But we love this article because with all that, anybody who knows us at all knows how much we talk about words and how important words are. So this article ties right in with what we believe and really try to talk about a lot.
And it ties other things together too, with the importance of words for sure. And it ties new thought to current science. And it also, so it demonstrates how intuitive the founders of New Thought were about the importance of thought. Now, of course, the one thing I found missing in this article is they don't talk about feelings. And just to remind our listeners, we like to think of thinking and feeling come together, thoughts and feelings come together. And it also emphasizes another connection that we've been kind of diving into in the last year or two, and that is that there is no real separation between thoughts, feelings, and our physical bodies, that maybe we need to talk about those more of a unit. And if we're doing that, then that also includes our divinity, doesn't it? That so we're threefold nature, we're divine, and we're human, where our humanity is made up of our personality, which includes thoughts, feelings, and all that other stuff, and of course, our physical bodies. So this is an article that kind of pulls it together.
And it ties in as a nice follow-up to the stress that we talked about the last 4 weeks. We've kind of talked about the issue of stress and how we manage it more effectively. And again, words have an impact on that. So we thought it would be a nice follow-up.
And what's interesting about what we're talking about, too, is we're talking about words that change consciousness. And when you think about it, then consciousness change the words you use.
Yeah, so it's like this circular loop. Yeah. Or maybe like a Mobius ring or something.
Exactly. You know,
that's two-sided, but yeah, anyway. Exactly. Look it up, folks. M-O-B-I-U-S.
It's very interesting. Yes, it is. We made one in one of our classes, remember, in that in our advanced 12 powers plus one class. Yep. Okay, so let's get to the article before we run out of time.
Yeah, so this is an article by an author reporting on other people's writings. Right, so, yeah. So it's like we're three times removed, but we're going to add our 2 cents worth.
Absolutely. And it's almost like a review of a book is what this really is.
And I've got to say, folks, the three of us, of course, have written and continue to write books. And these two particular gentlemen, Andrew Newberg and Mark Waldman, have written some fantastic books about and concerning the brain, the kind of topic we're talking about today. So we highly encourage you, if you haven't read those two guys, you might want to do that.
So you guys mentioned the title of another book that they wrote.
Right. They've written several, but one of them is called How Enlightenment Changes the Brain. Mm-hmm. I think it's the name of it. It's an incredible book. It's got a lot of good activities in it as well that you can use yourself to move toward that sense of enlightenment that you want to have. It's an awesome book. Yeah. This article is about another book they've written called Words That Can Change Consciousness. And the author of this article starts out with the results. He has a set summary at the very beginning. He says, the results of these studies. So I guess it's basing it off the title, which is research confirms that the words we say can change the structure of the brain. The results of these studies are striking. The words we use in our speech can cause changes in our brain. And so he uses that to introduce this book by the authors that Bill mentioned, Dr. Andrew Newberg and Mark Robert Waldman. And Andrew Newberg is a neuroscientist and Mark Waldman is a communication expert. So what a great combination to talk about this research in the brain and words. And the name of the book is Words That Can Change Consciousness. In particular, they write that ordinary words are strong enough to affect the expression of genes that regulate stress levels.
So for me, they've added another layer, not just changes the brain, but can change the expression of genes. And I would say to upregulate or downregulate stress levels.
Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely.
And to upregulate our entire health, when you think about it.
Bottom line.
According to neuroscientists, they're guessing, and I'm going to say guessing, that we have about 20,000 genes. There are other animals out there, birds and even worms, that have more proteins than we do. But we do a pretty good job with what we have, evidently, as humankind. And I would also like to say that because we only know about 5% of our DNA, the other 95% of the DNA is called junk DNA. And I got a feeling there's a lot more learning we can gain from that once we explore that whole domain.
Let me tweak that a little bit. So everything Bill said was true. We only know what the function of 5% of the DNA is, but we actually know all the coded pairs of DNA that exist in the chromosomes.
Yep. Yep.
That's been mapped. But what they do, most of them we don't know.
Yep. Right. True. Right. Yep, yep. And that's Thank what you. They label Thank junk DNA, but yep. we don't believe it's really junk. And maybe it's J-U-N-Q-U-E junk. The fancy kind. So the article has two examples here of about the words. For example, when we use words full of positivity, like love or peace, we thereby contribute to improving the functioning of our brain, affecting the cognitive functions and enhancing the work of the anterior frontal lobes of the brain. If you use kind words more often than negative ones, you are stimulating the work of motivational centers, encouraging them to act.
Yeah, so maybe we should talk about what that anterior frontal lobes actually do. And so we're throwing in some brain science here for you folks. The functions of the frontal lobe have to do with speech and language production, motor skills, comparing objects, forming memories, understanding and reacting to the feelings of others, forming personality, reward-seeking behavior and motivation, and managing attention, including selective attention. Wow, that is a whole shopping list of things. The ones that popped out to me were forming memories and understanding and reacting to the feelings of others. What about you guys?
Yeah, that too. And I'd add forming personality too. And we like to say that we have a small S self, which is the human self, and a capital S self, which is our divine nature. And I got a feeling it probably includes that too, although they don't use those terms.
Yeah. And what this little article says is the complex interplay of impulse control, memory, and other tasks helps form a person's key characteristics. And so this is discovered because damage to the frontal lobe can radically alter personality. And of course, we speak of we are divine, we have personality, and we have a body. And so this fits in perfectly. Okay, shall we go on?
Yeah, because the opposite also is true. We've talked about what happens when we use the positive words, but if we allow bad words and ideas, bad, I would probably use a different word there, but negative probably words and ideas to penetrate into our thoughts. Then we encourage the brain center of fear, which I think everybody is familiar with the amygdala as our fear center, which is why the body is filled with stress hormones. These same hormones and neurotransmitters interfere with the logical thinking process and the normal functioning of the brain.
We've talked about that a lot. When the amygdala is triggered, our fear, our fight, flight, freeze, or please, are the chemicals that are stimulated cause a constriction of the capillaries in our frontal lobes, and so they don't function as well as they should.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I am looking up to see the name of the scientist, but do you remember the scientist who did the research on thoughts to water crystals?
Oh, yeah. It's called something, the language of water or something of like, what?
And I'm sorry. Anyway. Yeah, I'm sorry that I didn't think about it when we were looking at the article, Emoto. And he talked about how water, when they did a lot of studies on people sending thoughts and thinking about it, and it would affect the crystal, the looks of the crystals of the water when they took the pictures of the crystals. And it was really pretty incredible.
It was pretty impressive.
And for those who want to look him up, he's Dr. Masaru Emoto, M-A-S-A-R-U, Masaru, and then E-M-O-T-O.
Right.
And what was the book? Is it listed there? The language of water, the something of water.
Secret of water, the hidden messages of water.
That's the one.
The hidden messages of water. Yeah. That's it. And I will put links to these on our website under this particular show, and people can then pop over and take a peek if they want. Anyway, Newberg and Waldman he has a quote here from them where they write, quote, "Evil words send alarm signals to the brain, partially stopping the work of the centers responsible for logic and awareness."
Yes. So you can see they're chewing around feeling nature here.
Yeah.
I mean, fear is an emotion, obviously, that these words that we choose have such impact is so important.
Yeah. And this explains why crazy things happen, like in our country right now, that the words that are being shared with people are creating people's actions that don't make sense. And we say, how could they do that? Well, this explains it. Logic and awareness are cut off.
Yeah. The high functioning part of the brain shuts down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a powerful awareness. When I read that, I thought, oh, wow, that explains a lot about people's behavior. Even going way back to, remember Jim Jones, myself here, but where like all those people drank that juice, Kool-Aid, and knowing they were going to die. And you think, how would anybody do that? And yet once they've created that energy with those words, power.
And what you two are saying also reminds me that it's even more important to recognize the fact that when we repeat certain words again and again and again, like affirmations, we really need to pay attention to what we're affirming.
Right. And remember, I call the positive words affirmations and the evil or bad words defamations.
Ah, I love it.
Because we're defaming ourselves and we want to act like they don't have an impact. Well, we know they have an impact on your consciousness. And now we know it has an impact on your body, which then impacts your consciousness.
Yeah. Okay, all of which impacts your actions.
And then your actions, right? Yes. Yes. And
I'm reminded of Myrtle Fillmore's quote. I've just got to throw it in here because it's so appropriate. Never make an assertion, no matter how true it may appear or look on the surface, that you do not want to see manifest in your life.
Yeah. The thing is, when we hear that quote, we think about Myrtle and we think that she's only talking about beyond our body, something happening to us. But the science is telling us it already has an impact on your brain and your consciousness. Right. And don't you want to catch it before it becomes an outer event?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Wow.
This is so powerful stuff.
It really is. Another excerpt from the book explains to us how using the right words can change our perception of reality. And I love that, our perception of reality.
So it's all about perception, boys and girls.
It really is. So here's the quote, the excerpt. By keeping positive and optimistic words in mind, you stimulate the work of the frontal lobe. And as an aside, that's what Paul was listing, all those things that the frontal lobe does. This area includes speech centers with the motor area of the cerebral cortex responsible for your motor functions. As our experiment has shown, the longer you focus on positive speech, the stronger the impact on other areas of the brain will be.
Yes.
That's the keeper part of that quote. As our experiment has shown, the longer you focus on positive speech, the stronger the impact on other areas of the brain will be.
Wow. And I'm going to just go on reading this, and then we need to switch. As a result, the functions of the parietal lobe change, which rebuilds both your own perception and the perception of the people with whom you communicate. Ooh. A positive attitude towards yourself will encourage you to see the good in others, and a negative one will make you more suspicious and will soon provoke doubts. Soon, in response to your conscious words, thoughts, and feelings, structural changes will occur in the thalamus. We are sure that these changes affect a person's perception of the real world. Now, friends, that's a teaser for next week.
Ding, 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 ding.
Right? We need to talk about the parietal lobe, and we need to talk about the thalamus and how all of this is working together. But for now, what we need to do is pivot to the absolute word. The absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. This comes from February 20th, 2022, and the word is inspiration. I am inspired to create and renew my life. I admire and respect the sacred calling and work of innovative and groundbreaking thinkers and leaders. The work they have done to forge new paths and influence humanity in new directions is inspirational. I've heard inspiration described as an inner quickening. This quickening is mine as I forge new paths and boldly journey forward, creating and renewing my life. To keep inspiration flowing, I invest time in meditation, inspirational reading, and rest in contemplative stillness. I begin each day opening my heart mind to infinite possibilities. I claim the courage and clarity to release my rigid patterns and expectations. I live in a state of gratitude and appreciation for the inspiration that arises within me, and I eagerly share it. I am inspired to create and renew my life. And friends, I am inspired. Wow, a lot. And this article, really, I felt so inspired. And I want to be clear, it didn't cause me to be inspired. That was the choice I chose. Right. So thank you for listening. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off to my wonderful co-hosts.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton signing off and saying, choose wisely this week.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton also signing off. And be careful, remind yourself the importance of choosing the right words.